Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5, hour number three underway. Thank you very much for listening on this Thursday morning. Coming up in about a half hour from now, John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, will be with us. We'll talk about Donald Trump's visit to Alabama coming up on Saturday, and also the business meeting for the Alabama Republican Party. That is set to convene on Saturday morning as well. So I don't know if there's anything to be expected there, but we'll certainly have a discussion there with the recently appointed chairman or voted on chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. Stick around for that. 251-343-0106 if you would like to respond to anything we are discussing on the radio this morning. Joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest, running up for Congress up in the 5th Congressional District in the seat that's occupied by Congressman Bo Brooks, who is running for U.S. Senate. But he's also the former Assistant Secretary of the Army. Casey Wardinsky on the line with us. Casey, good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for taking time. Before we talk Afghanistan, just give us a rundown on how the campaign effort's going up your way.
Well, very good. You know, Republicans are pretty much on fire. This is a real red state, and northern Alabama is very defense-friendly and very focused on liberties. And everywhere I go, people are very energized. They're upset about the direction the country's taking. In any domain you pick, whether it's the endless debt, the invasion of people's privacy, the denial of property rights, forcing folks to get vaccines and wear masks, across the board, they're looking for folks that put America first and put them first and can speak to the important issues in Washington, D.C. From day one when they arrive.
Well, that seems to be my assessment of that congressional district as well. So, but it's certainly a bleak time, I guess, in the country right now, based on what we're seeing. Just generally speaking, though, watching what's unfolding in Afghanistan over the last 4 or 5 days, what's your reaction to it?
It's pathetic. The group that's got the reins of power today, they just cannot prioritize. They don't put America first. They've gone down these dead ends that are wrecking our country, whether it's wrecking the military, wrecking our confidence in our government, wrecking our confidence in education and medicine. They're like a wrecking ball. Job one, when you send people abroad into harm's way, is you got a plan to protect them. Clearly, there's no plan. They don't even know who these people are or where they are in the country. Contractors, non-governmental entities, and governmental folks that were over there doing the work of the United States government. The CIA, we've probably all seen those videos on YouTube, the humans of the CIA, where, some clandestine effort agent is talking about being multiphobic and suffering from imposter syndrome. you've got to wonder where Jason Bourne went. And so now you hear the intelligence folks weren't on their game, and we had no idea. Well, of course, they're not on their game. They haven't been on their game. They've been busy trying to implicate the president in anything and everything, President Trump. And then you got the military, blaming them. But, of course, the military's been on the ground cheek and jowl for 20 years. And if they'd listened to the troops and got honest assessment from forces on the ground, many of the ANA forces, Afghan National Army forces, governmental leaders, were there on the paycheck. They were not committed to Afghanistan as a country because it's not a country. It's 14 tribes. That is a boundary surrounding many, many disparate cultures, languages, goals, and warlords. And the British tried to cobble it together. We tried to create a country where none existed from these 14 different entities. And, of course, against us was Pakistan, the Pakistani Intelligence Service, the ISI, which provided comfort, sanctuary, and rearming capability to Taliban. Behind them was China, which is an ally of Pakistan. And so all of that was known. The Biden bunch just did not have their eye on the ball. They were focused from day one when they came in. And my transition call with the new folks at the Pentagon, they asked about 10 minutes worth of questions, and they all revolved around, people's complexion, people's ancestry, their gender identity, and these sorts of questions, which have nothing to do with military capability. We got excellent soldiers who are black, who are white, who are Hispanic, who are male or female. The questions to ask are about capability and the capability to deter and defeat China and these sorts of enemies. Those weren't of interest. And they began then, once they took power, with edicts from the White House about rooting out extremism. You saw that. They were worried about the 28,000 National Guardsmen that showed up in D.C. to protect them from God knows what. They focused on extremism in the military. We looked at that, too. Maybe there were 30 people we kept an eye on, 30 out of 1.3 million in the Army. No eye on the ball, no eye on the ball in the border. The border is a tragedy, too. Across that border is going to come 2 million people. We have no idea who they are. What are their goals? What are they bringing with them? Are they traffickers, criminals, just folks that want to be an American? And yesterday, the president, you know, the Taliban are in full control of everything around that airport, and he decides to pick on the governors who are worried about how to run their state education systems and determine locally whether kids should be forced to vaccine, this kind of thing. And the president injects the Department of Education. The man has no ability to comprehend priorities. He has no priority on America and Americans.
Casey, the thing's interesting to me that you brought up, and, you know, we're expecting a Jason Bourne to show up. But a lot of times, particularly in this administration, the Hollywood kind of concept we have of a lot of these agencies that would be focused on Afghanistan or a situation like that, they're not at all what we picture them to be. That they're a lot less impressive in many ways than maybe they are depicted or the perception is among the public.
Yeah. Well, my experience was, at the top of the Army, I can't speak for the Navy or the Air Force. At the top of the Army, people were in uniform, were more focused on optics than substance. Any number of meetings that revolved around budget and prioritization of resources, I would hear things like, from very senior folks, my priority is the reputation of the U.S. Army and the military. We have the best reputation in America. My job is to maintain it. No, your job is to defend the country, and it's clear in your oath. It's to defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. But again, it's a prioritization problem. They put reputation and optics ahead of country. And that's where we are today. The CIA obviously did similar things, probably the FBI too. The national security apparatus is got real problems at the top. The wrong people are in charge. The wrong culture is being permeated down through the organizations. And that leads us to where we are today with a complete disaster in which we're now operating on the pure goodwill of our worst enemy, who operates on a 7th century standard that doesn't really care about Nancy Pelosi's idea about, women being part of the solution in Afghanistan. They could care less about that. We know what they're going to do to the women. And it's just a terrible situation, not unlike, the Jimmy Carter years, not unlike, the disaster in Benghazi with Hillary Clinton. These people just don't put America first.
Joined by former Assistant Secretary of the Army, Casey Wardzinski, here on the program running for Congress up in the 5th Congressional District of Alabama, up North Alabama. Casey, looking at the situation now, and, we're not getting a lot of specifics on solutions or what needs to be done first. There's a blame game going on. There is sort of this, kind of strange reaction from Joe Biden in his interview with Stephanopoulos. But all that aside, what do you do now? If you're back at the Pentagon and you're advising or you're setting policy, how do you de-escalate this situation?
Frankly, the Taliban really have all the cards. Nobody in their right mind would have configured an operation such as we have today. There's any number of ways for the Taliban to shut that thing down. They've got the heavy equipment. The Afghan army handed it over to them. We have no ability to bring in heavy equipment. We have no standoff. Every advantage we afford our military is gone. We're cheek and jowl with non-combatants of our, of American and allied flavor. We're cheek and jowl with non-combatants of locals, Afghan flavor, and then we're cheek and jowl with the Taliban and others over there who have other objectives. No standoff to separate those groups out, to employ precision, to employ heavy capabilities. I listened to John Milley yesterday, itemize American capabilities. The only thing he didn't was show them the nuclear weapons. You know, we got B-52s, we got F-18s. None of that's going to do us any good. We're not going to carpet bomb Kabul. And if the Taliban put together a crowd and point it in the direction of the airport, you know, they could have several hundred thousand people to send on that airport. What are our troopers going to do? They're going to face a choice of probably be overwhelmed or open fire, neither of which is great. There'll be civilians mixed in. And if the Taliban, you know, have their way, there'll probably be kids and women at the front of the crowd. So it's a really beautiful optic. And so they hold the cards. What we need to be thinking about is how does this never happen again? We're going to deal with the situation on the ground. It's probably going to drag out. The Taliban's got the ability to drag it out forever. There's plenty of Americans scattered around Afghanistan. We don't know where they are and who they are. Getting them out is going to be a chore. We're going to be lucky to get that done. But the bigger picture in my book is, how did we get here, and how do we not get here again, and who's helping us to get here? The folks that helped us to get here are bureaucrats who don't put America first, that worry about these non-issues in the military. For example, the 82nd is going over to deal with the situation in the airport. They're our forced entry force. We've committed the Global Reaction Force to that effort. And they're looking at these folks and saying, if you haven't been vaccinated, you can't go. And maybe your team can't go either. So we're tearing apart the cohesion of units going into the worst circumstance, which is directly contrary to what we're trying to do in the Army, which is build cohesive teams. And it's over a vaccine. And the vaccine does nothing for these folks. The military lost like 28 soldiers in association with COVID over the last 18 months out of 2.5 million. Many more were lost to motorcycle accidents. So they can't prioritize that. The big problem is China. China's behind Pakistan. Pakistan's behind the ISI and the Taliban. They've opened a second front now on India's west. India's our ally against China and what China hopes to do in Taiwan. We cannot let them have Taiwan. We need to keep them deterred and out of there. And that's the big picture. And we've set up a disaster here to invite more trouble by our enemies, to demoralize our forces and our allies. And Biden's right at the root of that. And his team's right at the root of that because they don't know what matters. And what do we do about the folks on the ground? You know, we're showing them, you know, our capability. They know it. And what they know is they control access to the airport. And my appraisal is we're going to have to do our very best to get out of there as quickly as we can. But it's purely going to be at the goodwill of the Taliban.
Casey, last question on this, on Afghanistan. The way it just deteriorated so rapidly, I mean, that suggests to me that there was never going to be any government that the United States was going to be set up that was going to be long-lasting. And even right now, sitting here today, the Biden administration acknowledges that, well, we thought maybe it would last till December, or you know, you hear anything from weeks to maybe a couple of years, but you never hear anybody that was saying that this was going to be permanent, that this was going to be long-lasting. What was the point then? Like, why did we continue to maintain that presence if the reality was that you were never, ever, under any circumstances, were going to be able to set anything up that was long-lasting, as we had been told probably over the years?
Well, remember, it started shock and awe, which is a little bit, you know, like, you know, sex in the modern times. It's gratuitous, but not enduring. It doesn't lead to a relationship. We were going to go in there, hammer them, and get out. And we're going to do it with a lot of standoff, cruise missiles, precision munitions, and SOF, special operating forces, and get out. And somehow that morphed into staying and nation building, which there was no nation to build. It's 14 tribes with 14 different languages, 14 cultures. It's a tribal culture. There's no nation. Thinking Kabul was going to pull that thing together, and a president that was arranged president and obviously a corrupt entity, was never going to pull that thing together. My takeaway, and one I'd point out to Americans, is the Biden bunch is creating tribalism here. They're trying to carve us up by every way they can, vaccinated, unvaccinated, gender identity, sexual preference, color of your skin, where your folks hailed from, religion. That's tribalism, and they're bringing that to our country now. Well, there's no reason to expect America to hang together forever if we're pitted against each other by all these things that separate us instead of the things that bring us together. The Afghans had very little to bring them together, and the result was the Taliban walked right through the divides. They demoralized region by region, and now they're in charge because they're willing to do anything. The liberals in this country appear willing to do anything, too. They're taking property rights. They're looking to strip of us our freedoms, freedom of control of your own body with this vaccine, and freedom to communicate. And they've got corporate America in league with them. And so I think the warning sign here is, the bigger picture is, watch out for what's going on in America. We don't need to be the next tribal nation. They don't hang together. They come apart at the seams. And we've got big fish to fry with our enemies abroad, and they got to be licking their chops over this.
Casey, folks want to find out more about you, your campaign, tell them where to look.
Friendsofcasey.com is the website. I am an America First candidate. I was part of the Trump administration, and I am definitely against the approach the Bidens are taking and their feckless leadership. We need a strong turnout in 2022 to take the Congress back, get rid of these weak Republicans in the Senate, and then prepare for a strong Republican president in 24.
Casey Wardinsky, ladies and gentlemen. Casey, thanks for making time for us.
Thank you very much.
Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I'm raising hell just like I did